Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Clash of the Titles, February Fanny, the podcast that this February pits two movies with something in common picked by fans of the show and puts them in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. This week, in the red corner, three friends build a spaceship and head off on a fantastic journey to meet an alien who just loves pop culture and another who finds human children very attractive. From 1985, we're joining the Explorers. While in the blue corner, another kid, but this one is all on his own, and then some, after he travels 8 years into the future because Pee-wee Herman is a shit spaceship. We're heading to 1986 to witness the flight of the Navigator.
Oh, stop talking about getting killed all the time. It's gonna be great.
What if the ship falls apart, okay? What if it falls apart?
She's a good ship.
Don't be so paranoid.
All right, okay, fine. Ready?
Yeah.
Flashlight. Systems check. Air pressure. Okay, okay, there.
Check.
12-volt system.
David, what time did you enter the woods?
Around 8 o'clock.
Then what happened?
Reached this cliff.
It's transmitting in alpha waves with complex frequency patterns in them.
I know I fell.
It's 1986, man. 8 years since that night. This is totally rad. I mean, you're my big little brother.
So, it's an alien altercation this week, but which film will be victorious? Let's find out. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Podders. She won't be undressing this early. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
I'm Chris Tilly.
And welcome to our continuing journey of listener choices, clashes, listener chosen clashes, as we fully enter February Fanny. There we go. All right. Here we are. Welcome. Now, if you've got a clash to suggest, I'm afraid we're full. That's right. The last slots have been decided. But, and I haven't discussed this with either of you, so I'm just going to go ahead and say it. If you do have a potential clash, you can still email us show@clashpod.com with a reason for your suggestion. And you never know, we might start dropping in the odd listener-picked clash every so often.
Well, then you're going to have to curate them because I want a break from this.
I'm just saying, every so often.
I do that anyway. I look at the list.
That's
what?
That's not okay.
Why?
You can't steal listener suggestions without actually acknowledging them.
I think I do mention it.
You don't. But if you want to email anyway, then they'll
email Alex personally.
They'll go into the pot and then we'll discuss. We'll do this off air. We'll have a conversation. Anyway, back to today.
What if it's occurred to you that someone could guess your email address because it's so basic?
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it.
Yeah, I nearly said it then.
Yeah.
It's sort of.
I tell you what, there's
thinking.
A bit of a curveball at the end, actually, because it'd be like, who's using
what?
That?
Yeah, still, in this day and age.
That's how I've disguised it, by being a bit of a dinosaur. I once said my email address on stage at a student event, and everyone laughed, and I didn't know why. And then I suddenly realised that I was very old.
At friendsreunited.com.
So back to today. Who do we have to thank for this clash of Explorers versus Flight of the Navigator?
A couple of people.
Great.
Couple of suggestions. I think one came in from last year, actually.
All right.
Danny Costa said, I'd like to put forward two films for battle. They are Explorers versus Flight the Navigator. I haven't got a witty connection, sorry. Just kids in space and adorable alien sidekicks. While Darren Scharf says, his connection is Spielbergian movies of my childhood. And also, my good friend and yours, Chris, who turned me onto this podcast, Brian Scipione suggested it a while back, and you said you'd do it. I don't remember this.
Do you have a friend called Brian?
There's a man in Austin that I'm friends with. Oh. Yeah, but I don't think I've seen him in years.
Is his nickname Skippy?
A little bit.
Of course it is. Yes. Bally, Skippy, but Ginger, Bertie, Biggles.
Hi, Brian, if you're still listening. And yeah, awesome.
Great. So that's Danny, Brian and...
Darren.
Danny, Brian and Darren. Thank you, guys. So the clue I gave on last week's show was Boy Meets Another World. Chris followed up on Twitter with...
Who knows? Annoying voices.
Yeah, wacky voices.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, I realised that whack at the end of this movie may be a lot like me on this podcast.
Yeah.
Just randomly doing impressions that aren't very good and quoting films for no reason.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, this has been a wake-up call.
Oh, that's, bless you, that's
so,
nice.
You know,
He's been whacked.
I've been whacked.
Okay.
Yeah. What I do is whack.
His voices are good.
Well, all right.
They're really good, aren't they?
Well, Sean Connery's been great the last 2 weeks, everyone said. So, the guest has arrived.
Everyone said. Mom, everyone said... My voices were good.
My mum said they were really good. She said I've got a talent. The guest has arrived at Lightspeed on our Twitter, at ClashPod. If you want to give us a follow, we're also on Instagram and TikTok, at ClashPod as well. And if you're in the business for a little extra clash of the visual variety, completely free of charge, why not check out our YouTube channel and subscribe? So, who won this week with the first correct guess? Well done to Tibbs and Darren Scharf. But the winner with the first correct guess is Brett Hijack, who said the connection is both films have kids with blueprints for spaceships in their head. And Brett Hijack, I know, is a previous winner because I mangled his surname that time.
Okay,
as well.
Two things. Darren probably got it right because he's one of the people that has emailed and suggested it. We just acknowledged.
Okay, great.
Well done, Darren. And Brett, I'm right. This is a weird coincidence we've got here. Brett knows that his films have been picked next week. He's figured it out. And in his secondary email, he's told us how to pronounce his name. So we won't get it wrong. But that'll be next week, Brett, because this week we fucked it.
Yeah, yeah, I just want to say he corrected me last time. Last time I mangled his surname, he actually got in touch and corrected me.
Right.
He's emailed twice.
Look,
in the last couple of
Brett,
weeks.
Brett,
next week we will get it right.
Your prize is next week I will pronounce your name correctly.
It's Hijack.
Hijack!
Like shoe rack.
Got it.
Or tie rack. Yeah. Thanks, Brett.
Lovely stuff.
Spice rack. Yeah.
No, tie rack was the best because it actually works. Cool. Well done, Brett. Anyway, Brett won, and apparently his suggestion is next week. Is that a Valentine's Day special?
It is. Yeah.
Oh my God, next week's films. Oh, they're so good. Right then. Connection section. Kids with blueprints of spaceships in their head. Thanks, Brett.
Kids in space. Thanks to the other man that said that.
Peeping.
Yeah, spying on girls. So weird.
Naughty.
They're just kids.
Oh, come on. It's the 80s.
I know. I literally have that. It's the 80s. Yeah. It's fine.
Aliens quoting humans.
Humans quoting Star Trek.
Kids climbing up on roofs. Look at the sky.
Talking metal spheres. This metallic spider thing on the spaceship has got like the sphere thing, and obviously Max is just a sphere.
Rock and roll in space. Got Little Richard and the Beach Boys. That's quite specific, that one.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Considering they're a year apart. Eisner and Katzenberg, they left one to oversee the other.
Oh, good.
Yeah, didn't realise that.
Didn't know that.
Two films that fall apart in the third act. I don't know. We can get into that. One more so than the other.
I think we'll have to.
I've got one of Vicky's Ernest Borgnine style connections. It's a brand new feature.
Whatever makes you feel good, man.
It makes me feel fucking great. River Phoenix was in Explorers, yeah, and his brother Joaquin Phoenix, mm, yeah, was at one stage considered for Flight of the Navigator. He's not in it.
No. I considered that connection.
He ended up doing Space Camp instead, which is very much of this genre.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And which
camp
I'd like to do with space cowboys.
Sure.
Children and old men stuck in space.
Good. It's good. There's a very funny scene in the test flight module which cracked me up as a kid in Space Camp.
Although he wasn't called Joaquin Phoenix, was he?
What was he called?
He called himself Leaf. Either his parents or him, he called himself Leaf, and that's who he was for like the first sort of 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, bit of trivia.
He's not in it though. So,
but look what content we got out of it.
Absolutely.
Look at that.
It's all about the content.
It's all in here.
Yeah. Any more?
No.
Great. So on Thursday, Chris will be navigating us through Flight of the Navigator, which means today V is exploring Explorers. V, take us on a journey.
A group of hyper-aware misfits who talk to each other with handheld radios and build an antenna is the plot of Stranger Things Series 3. Hmm. A group of hyper-aware misfits in space dealing with very bad effects aliens is the plot of Dark Star. Put those two things together and you've got Explorers, the film Joe Dante did right after Gremlins when he could have done anything and did Explorers. I know, right? A film that is sadly never more than the sum of its parts. Ben, Wolfgang and Darren put a waltzer in a bubble and go where no person has ever gone before, to a rundown quasar in a shopping centre, right in the middle of a private family argument and 20 minutes worth of impressions of TV shows and comedians I'm too young to remember. So I'll take it on trust that what passes for an act three is absolutely hilarious. The boys are sent away. Only now their shared hallucination encompasses girl next door Laurie, who bloody loves it and rewards the boy who's been spying on her with a kiss. Is it an early example of self-reflexive Easter egg-powered postmodernism, or a strangely boring two-thirds of a full film that everyone swears down didn't do well because of Live Aid, which is ridiculous, but maybe it was just ahead of its time, or rubbish, not sure.
Yes. Obviously, yes. But I can see why Live Aid was an issue.
Really?
Yeah, it was a unique thing.
It was
a
unique thing.
People can watch more than one thing. Your opening
weekend, though, the whole world, it was really hot everywhere, and the whole world was either watching it on telly or there.
Mm. Yeah.
I can see why that was an issue, but the film wasn't very good.
It's a weird thing, isn't it? It's like, Live Aid wasn't just done like the night before. They didn't go, do you want to do a concert tomorrow? It was in the diary. And what have we got to compete with that bloody concert? what that concert is stealing our box office.
Yeah.
What do we have?
I'm not going to.
But it was the first of those televised concerts, and I just think it surprised everyone quite how big it was.
Really?
I think so.
The biggest music acts in the world live on TV. I mean, it wasn't that surprising. All right, fine. It was surprising.
Well, listen. I've never heard of this film, so I'm not going to be too awful, because I can see why, and having had a bit of time to think about it, I can understand why it's much beloved, but imagine my surprise watching it for the first time. I never heard of it. It doesn't ring any bells. I wasn't like, oh, that thing. Like, I kept staring at Joe Dante's Wikipedia list, and you're like, that can't be right, because we've done basically everything else he's ever done, and everything else he's ever done is fucking brilliant. Mm. And not to everyone's taste as well, I really love The Burbs. A lot of people don't think it's great. But this, I just don't get it, but I won't be too mean. When did you see it?
This was the first watch for me.
Was it?
Well, no, I'd heard of it. I spent this movie trying to work out whether if I'd seen this in the 80s, I would have absolutely loved it. And I think I would.
I can help with that.
You saw it in the 80s?
Yes.
And?
It was a big part of my childhood. I can remember the video, the poster, which Joe Dante hates because it hasn't got anyone on it.
But it looks good, the poster.
It's, you know, this is Amblin Spielberg. They were going really hard for that audience. And I was that audience. And I was that age. And so I can remember the videos, like the video store, renting it all the time. I didn't love it, but there wasn't that much choice. So I think me and a lot of people my age just watched it a lot.
Yeah.
Because 100%, even, what was I, 7, 8 years old probably by the time this came out on video, I knew then it falls apart in the third act. You know, I'm really into this movie until we get into the spaceship. And then I'm like, even at eight, I was like, this isn't very funny and this is just annoying. And I don't like these aliens and I don't understand the sexuality here.
Yeah, that's my point.
And I want to go home. But the adventure of building and flying off in your own spaceship, and they're quite likable kids.
They're really likeable,
like, you would have really liked the kid who didn't become famous. I think you would have looked up to him thought, oh, he's Darren. Cool like me.
Yeah. Yeah, he was cool, yeah.
And obviously the other two ended up being, you know, two fantastic actors. Mm. But yeah, so that's my childhood with this film. So it was a big part of my childhood, even though I didn't particularly like it.
Yeah, okay.
It just doesn't manage to get that Amblin magic. There's one scene where it really hits its groove. We'll talk about it when we come to it, where you go, this is exactly what I thought this movie was going to be, where it's proper Amblin suburbia with a little bit of magic, and there's only one scene where that happens and everything around it is a bit dull.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to it, because it's a shame. So the writer, if you get time, I'll send you the link. I won't send it to anyone else. It doesn't make any sense.
My email. Yeah. Yeah. My very cool email.
Because Eric Luke, who wrote it, this was his first... the first film he had made, he got an agent off the back of it. He wrote it on spec. He was a UCLA graduate and he'd done a few scripts, but nothing was happening. And then E.T. is like fucking massive, and so he's like, I can do that. I can do a, you know, in his words, like a neat one sentence concept: three boys build a spaceship and go to space. So he gets an agent and it sort of makes some moves and it gets sold to Paramount. But when he talks about making it, I think it's good to read for someone that if you want to get something made, because it's obviously a very chaotic, humbling experience. And all your dreams are coming true and it's running out of your control faster than you can like grab back hold of it. And he was saying, you know, when you're sitting there writing, you've ostensibly got all the time in the world. You should get a move on, but it's just you and you're doing your thing. And then Joe Dante is like, I need pages and I need them now. And then he shoots them and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm quite new and maybe that wasn't great and all the rest of it. And combined with all the usual pressures, like the studio moving, you know, studio moved the release date. And it got a little bit cheekily rewritten by the director, and the act three is kind of, that's kind of his fault. And you, but you're just grateful to be there and along for the ride. And it's, I just found it very relatable, what he was saying. So anyway, oh, I wanted to ask you about this, Chris. There's a rumor on the internet that that Steven Spielberg bought this. This isn't true, but he bought the script to appropriate a plot detail about kids on the sky and they were on bikes at one point, and he bought it to steal that idea to put it into E.T. And then lied about it because it's like, oh, it's a spec that now exists after E.T. That's a rumour that I thought you might have been on top of.
But you said it's not true.
It can't be true, because I read this huge interview with him and he didn't go,
he would have
Steven Spielberg
that.
Made, like, nick my shit. So
you wouldn't say that even if you did believe it, though.
No, my God, yeah, can you imagine? No. No, so don't do that. So anyway, Salt Paramount.
Very litigious.
He's very litigious. Is it litigious? Are we in trouble for saying that? I don't even know.
You are, potentially.
No, you've gone on the record by saying it's not true.
Yes, thank you.
That's fine.
If we put the video out where you're going, it is really.
So anyway, Wolfgang Petersen, it was offered to, apparently. He'd just done The Neverending Story. That's obviously massive. I couldn't find a reason.
Every time you say Neverending Story, I still see Artex. And then I think about that tunnel that he escapes in.
And everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
You see. The only reason I could read about why it didn't happen was that, which I don't know how true this is that he wanted to shoot it in Bavaria and Paramount didn't. So whatever. They wanted it to look American and all the rest of it. So they get Joe Dante. So like I say, the script had a lot of changes. It did used to have an act three. It was bad aliens versus good aliens. So the aliens that the kids meet are in a bit of a battle with very bad aliens, not with their dad.
I heard it was a bit like Space Jam, where they play baseball. So the good aliens and the kids fight the bad aliens in a game of baseball that they have to win. And I read that and I was like, that sounds great.
That sounds fine.
I would love that.
Yeah.
And the stuff about consciousness was in this a version of the script as well.
Oh, yeah.
About consciousness, we're all part
we're
of one
connected,
being.
Yeah,
and Pierre Teilhard de Chardin had a philosophy outlining how all the consciousness is part of this giant being, and it involves Dick Miller. That's why the Dick Miller character is connected to the kids, because it makes no sense in the film.
Yeah. No, they cut it all out.
Yeah, and Joe Dante then said, it's a shame that the only movie that actually addresses that theory is The Exorcist 2, which is just a weird sentence. It, like, to be angry at The Exorcist 2 because it's the only movie that addresses joint consciousness.
Yeah.
There are a lot of reasons to be angry at that movie. That seems way down the list.
Because as it stands... He just looks like a weird kid stalker.
He doesn't look like anything. It's so left to wither on the vine.
And yet, wait till we get to the bits then. You're going to love my bits.
But the fact that he's sharing this connection, he's supposed to be sharing a connection with the kids and have had this same experience when he was a child.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's something to explore. And then I'm cool with this old man following these children around.
Yeah. And I'm being quite physically aggressive towards one of them. But again, it's the 80s. It's fine.
He's a cop as well, so.
Is that what he, I didn't know. Is that what he is?
I'm pretty sure. Well, he's in a
police. I don't know.
He's in a police helicopter.
Is that what that
with
is?
With a policeman.
I don't know.
They're not just randoms who've got a helicopter bothering some kids in a spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
Did you recognise the actor who's in the chopper with him?
No.
He is in the film Mannequin. He's Hollywood.
Why we haven't done Mannequin yet is beyond me.
There is a reason.
There's a couple of reasons, but you've come up with a perfect pairing for it that we'll have to do later this year because the film isn't out yet.
Thanks, right. Chris. So you mentioned Michael Eisner and Jeffrey Katzenberg. They leave Paramount for Disney. And then you get new execs and they're like, they're Paramount are like, Joe Dante, stop making Explorers, do Gremlins 2 instead. And he's like, I don't know if I can do that. So they just sort of, they move the release deadline. They just try and get it out and get it done. And so they had to cobble together what they had.
We've got to get it out for the same date as Live Aid. Get it out. Live Aid's on tomorrow.
Counter programming. Kids won't be watching that. Yes, they will.
Yeah. So then there was a party scene where Ben and Laurie have a kiss rather than kissing in the sky. There was a sub. I mean, I think terming it a subplot is actually quite generous. This is Joe Dante's words. There was a subplot about bullies, and then their claws disappeared. It's like that's not a subplot, but whatever. We're sort of grasping at straws.
It's the never-ending story plotline, isn't it? Of the bullies being set up at the start, and then you pay off at the end. Every kid wants to see their bully get taken down.
Yeah. But,
so they set them up here, and they do pull down their trousers. They pull down his trousers at the start of this film.
Yeah.
That's quite strange.
Sorry, and then their clothes disappear was the sentence.
Yeah, because Joe Dante's actual words were in an interview. He was on stage when they were doing a live screen of this. It was quite a long time ago. I want to say 2017. Anyway, it wasn't recently. And his literal words, verbatim, were, the guys had a crystal or something. You directed the movie. Was it a crystal? Was it a something?
And then their clothes come off and you see everything.
But if the kids end up in their underwear at the end, the bullies, that would make sense because they pull down his trousers at the start. Because otherwise, it's a really weird thing for that bully to do at the start to pull down the trousers.
Sure.
Yeah, it is.
Because then you see everything.
So it was released before it was finished, basically. It bombed. Everyone hated it. we need a klaxon or something for cult classic alert. It's a cult classic now because it was shit. Enough time has passed.
I'd say it's just a nostalgia thing. Yeah. I don't think anyone's claiming this to be a classic.
No, I don't know. When I don't want to be harsh about it because I think it's beloved, but beloved whilst being cognizant of its potential shortcomings.
Yeah, I'd say that's where I'm coming from.
What did Joe Dante say? He said of his final act, we came up with a sort of pop culture angle on it and we thought it would be funny. Audiences didn't.
That's pretty, brutal, clinical. I mean, that's what Eric Luke said, that Joel Dante just had this idea that it would pull the rug from under people's feet. They're expecting an adventure and what they get is this huge sort of pop culture dunk and everyone will love that because it's so surprising. Mm. But no one loved it because it was too surprising.
And everything Joel Dante does has a bit of Looney Tunes in it. And this is like a Looney Tunes ending almost.
Yeah.
Even to the point that the dad coming in just isn't funny.
No.
Yeah.
But then it's so weird. That's what I meant about it not being more than the sum of its parts. If you were mixing that together in your little pot of movie magic, you'd be like, winner. Because I've got all the ingredients. The three kids are really good, especially for their age, especially for their lack of experience. They're brilliant. Mm. You've got a brilliant director. You've got brilliant music. You know, you've just got all the elements. And yet, it just doesn't do anything. It's very strange. It's a good lesson for us all.
Because you still need a third act, fundamentally.
Do you, though? I think about this all the time. No, I'm obsessed with it. You do.
Right.
You do. Yeah. And it's so easy to write and be like, and then everybody makes up and it's fine and it's done. And then I think about Tootsie all the time. No act three. He says, I'm sorry. Film ends. And everyone loves that movie.
I saw a woman talking this week who worked on the original Star Wars and a few of them with George Lucas in the offices. And she said that when they were making Star Wars, the first one. He said to her, all you need is a good first 10 minutes and a good last 10 minutes. Nothing else matters. Which I found quite a shocking thing for him to say.
That's so good.
But that's my thing. That's what I always think. Episodes of 24, that's all they were.
Yeah.
The middle 40 minutes of every episode 24, nothing happened. But the beginning and end made you think you'd watch the best thing ever.
So I watched Triangle of Sadness this week, and the middle section of that is so good that everything either side of it pales in comparison. Mm. And by the end, you're
that's
like, oh, God, when's this going
to
end?
That's so interesting. Mm. That's quite hard to do.
It's such an extreme middle act, and it's so like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then it by the end, sustain. It can't. You sort of, you need something, you need... They needed Lucas. They needed him to give him the last 10
minutes.
Get
rid of all that. Yep. have you got any more fascinating facts about Explorers?
No, only just more about, you know, what was cut out. Like, I didn't realise the kid in the drive-thru when they're in front of the screen, the kid in the car who's with the girl, who's like, no, special effects are really rubbish.
Yeah.
He's actually meant to be Ben's brother.
Is he?
Yeah, but all that got cut out.
I thought he was an only child.
You know, he's not.
God.
He's got a brother.
He's got a brother.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Great. Okay. Yep. Thanks for that.
Who likes drive-thrus? That's it.
I'm glad I asked now.
Well, you
that's
did brilliant. Ask.
Yeah. No, I did ask. And you contractually must read everything that's in front of you. Yeah. It just has to, doesn't it? Just mental.
If I've cut and pasted onto this, then it has to get read. Otherwise, what was the point? I've wasted time.
Alex's boring trivia corner.
If it's competing with inflation corner, then I'm happy.
Still does. Get that as a diss.
Oh,
I still
see?
Don't see it. It's useful information.
Inflation. Increased taxation.
No, people actually love it. We've got
this week's Wednesday's Clash Q.
Yeah.
Was do we actually do Vicky's Inflation Corner?
What did everyone say?
But I added on, or are there any other corners you'd like us to visit on a weekly basis?
Fair enough. You diluted it a bit. But
Alex?
Yeah, so you know the 2,000 francs question
from
the other week. So what was 2,000 francs that Van Helsing's reward for his capture or death was 2,000 francs in 1888?
Yeah.
Apparently, Hit and me. This is according to Andy MacDonald, he says, apparently Van Helsing would be worth 45,089,713 pounds.
Are you okay, Alex?
Are you all right? That is a big number.
No, he's written it down wrong. He's written it down wrong.
He's written it down wrong.
There's one more number.
I can
than
do numbers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm malfunctioning. Anyway.
I'm the sick one.
Andy MacDonald, approximately 2,000 francs in today's money. You're going to love this. Did I say it already? It's 45 million. Oh.
That's brilliant.
So Van Helsing.
That was rubbish.
Van Helsing.
Inflation Corner was rubbish.
I think it's fantastic because it means the filmmakers did not do their research because I don't think they meant to put the equivalent of 45 million francs, did they? Love that.
So much money if he was around today. I'd go after him. 45 million.
For throwing someone off a cathedral. That's mental. See, Inflation Corner is fun. You didn't think it was going to be, but it is.
Yep, it's a great feature.
I hate it, but we seem to have had a few people saying, yes, please. Yep.
How many is a few? No, don't tell me.
A lot.
Like under 10.
More than there should be, really.
Yeah, brilliant. Yep. Yeah!
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
No worries.
I turned my phone off. But
Craig Main says, don't make it a regular thing. It's better to have her hold it over you and use it at random intervals.
Oh, God, he's so right!
Yep.
I love these people.
Someone said, bring back Tilly on telly. I can't remember what that was.
Oh.
Just words. I remember it. It rings a bell, but I don't know what it means.
I don't remember this. Lucy says, definitely keep the inflation corner. I was also a big fan of Bond or Not Bond from the layer cake episode for Daniel Craig.
What was Bond or Not Bond?
I don't remember, but it sounds great. It sounds like a Partridge feature.
Bond or Not Bond.
Bond or Not Bond.
It was when we picked out lyrics. That's not right. When we picked out lines of dialogue from layer cake, and I said to you, is it from layer cake or is it from Bond? Because it's that stupid film.
We've also got this. Do you remember, this is going back now, on the Road to Perdition episode, we were trying to work out what £1,300, £1,600 that Jude Law's character was asking to be paid.
I fucking hate this.
Jude Law's character, Maguire,
oh, yeah.
in Road to Perdition, yeah. he asks for £1,600.
And he gets to keep the photos.
We're not going into the photos. John Braddock says, the Bank of England website has an inflation calculator on it. So £1,600 in 1940 is £55,000 now.
Do you know what? And that sounds about right. So someone's done their work when they were writing the script. 55 grand, he's a bit, he'll do, you know, it's not pocket change, but it's not life changing.
To murder someone, yeah, 55. Yeah. I'd do it 55.
Of course so you would. Course. You're not daft, are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather go for Van Helsing for 45 million. That seems more worthwhile.
Please, can we please take a break and then do Explorers in about 15 minutes?
Great. Yep.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, sorry. I genuinely love that. Let's talk about explorers. There's no money in this, so you'll be fine, I don't think. Right, so little Ben, he's having a dream. This dream looks like Tron.
Tron!
Yep. Vectors, circuit boards, Tron!
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, so ILM did the effect, so you'd be like, slam dunk, everyone, take the week off, we're going to the bank, this film is going to be fine. This all looks amazing, and I loved it. Mm. I just love the flying over it, I think it's trippy, it draws you in, and I really wanted to stay there.
Just watch Tron.
I like Tron. Right, so Ben lets his friend Wolfgang know what he saw in the dream, and Wolfgang can build it. Now, Wolfgang is a geek, and we know this because he wears a full suit, and he doesn't own a bag, so the script can expressly go, he carries an armful of books. That's the only reason he does that.
It's fine. It's visual storytelling. It's fine.
It's true.
It's a shorthand.
Show, don't tell.
Yeah, 100%. Yep. So then we meet Trouble Darren. So now we've got a very standard buddy trio that is Nerd, Normal and Issues, or Chris, Vicky, Alex.
Wait, people can't see where you're pointing.
Chris, Nerd, Vicky, Normal, Alex, Issues.
Whoa.
Oh, I think me and you are interchangeable, but Chris, you rarely have issues.
Off the back of me being untrustworthy last week.
You are untrustworthy.
No, I got that from last week. So I've got issues and I'm untrustworthy.
Sometimes you have dramas, don't you?
Do you know what? I probably will have issues if you carry on doing this on a week-by-week basis.
Dramas, isn't it?
I've got drama.
I've always had drama.
I look for drama.
And then I have dramas too, but if there's ever three of us are ever in a social situation, Chris isn't bringing any drama, is he?
No.
It's me and you.
It depends how much.
Ah, that's true. It creates a bit of drama. Yeah.
Can I be a nerdy jock?
No, pick a lane. You can't have both.
I've never been able to.
It's a good job we learn a lot about Darren, the fact that his mum's died and his dad hauls junk. He's an okay guy, but he's very unlucky because all that's going to come back. I can't wait to see how those important points about Darren's life are resolved at the end.
Very true.
Dad used to catch him, but now we can run. He can't catch him anymore.
Oh, that's so 80s as well, isn't it?
Yeah, abuse, brilliant.
Sorry.
I got a question. Is that James Cromwell?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You can look this stuff up, by the way, when you're watching the film.
I
looked up about the fact that the kid at the drive-in was his brother. I've done that.
Yeah, that is mad, though, isn't it? Yeah. James Cromwell playing, not elderly, he's elderly now, he wasn't elderly then, but a German man. Very German.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Luke said he said it's just amazing to watch the film again because you see these people that have gone on to like win Oscars and have this huge career, James Cromwell. And he saw him once and he went up to him and he sort of had to remind him who he was. He's like, I'm Eric and I did Explorers and I wrote it and I was on set. And he was just like so lovely too. He was like, that's just, you know, such a nice, generous thing to do.
What this stuff reminded me of is another reason that maybe this wasn't a huge success. Didn't this come out a week after Back to the Future as well? That's going to contribute.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind
that
the audience
movement of Live Aid.
But this house did remind me of a Doc Brown house. Mid-80s, there was always someone had a house like this in a movie.
I think maybe, is this the scene you mean? That rat that
Wolfgang's
got, the rat going, cheese, is the funniest thing I've seen for ages.
I wrote it down. The rat saying cheese and the rat telling Wolfgang's dad to go to hell. Fantastic.
It's so funny. It's really funny.
Yeah, MVW. Already.
Yeah, the rat. Yeah. Well, specifically the rat's voice, actually. I'm not that keen on the rat, but the voice is just perfect.
Yeah. It's great. And the bit where the little sphere is destroying the basement and you can just hear the rat going, help, help, help. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. More of the rat.
Yes, please. A little bit of early tech porn for people like me. Some talk of very early internet and a big monitor and... that's in the other film. I've got some more of that later, sorry. I nearly went to
there's early. A lot of stuff, isn't there? There's chunky computers and there's the sci-fi comics.
And none of it makes any sense because in a bit when they get the bubble... Right, no, actually, what do I know? Wolfgang says, it's a thing that can move in three dimensions. And I was like, can't everything move in three dimensions? But am I wrong? No,
you're right. Yeah. Everything moves in three dimensions, I believe. The toy monkey that he picks up, that's from Close Encounters.
Oh,
a little bit because Dante.
That's a good film.
Dante loves an Easter egg.
Yep.
He does.
There's a couple in this one.
It's good. It's a good little bit of destruction derby when the sphere destroys the basement. It's well done.
Yeah,
it's all right.
It's a bit like a gremlin, isn't it? Wrecking all the shit. Yeah. I thought.
Oh, I love that movie.
So this is the first. Just to be that, you know, this is my job. You know, the first of many like stop-start moments. So we're in the lab. We see what the computer can do. But then it's like, oh, we've got to come back tonight. Why? Just cause. So then we go back tonight, and then the bubble, and it's like, okay, it's wrecking shit. So then we're not going to test it now, we've got to wait till the morning. It's like, what is happening?
You should always wait when you've got blue balls, you should always wait till the morning.
I wrote down the same thing. I'm like, when is this movie going to start doing something? It's so laboured, this whole beginning. I mean, it's great when he's looking in Laurie Swanson's window. That's funny.
I guess.
Yeah. She's not going to be undressing that early.
I know. How old are they? I mean, whatever. It's fine.
You think about it, like Monster Squad, Adventures in Babysitting. So many movies from this era had this exact scene. Mm. And yet this one feels somehow creepier.
Does it?
Yeah, because, I don't know, it's just the fact that he's sort of like, take me closer. And then he talks about what she's eating.
I guess the issue is, I think the films from this decade, as you're right, they all had the scene, but they were almost approving of it.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas now, the only way you'd have that scene is if you really got your fucking comeuppance, because this is not allowed.
That Ben is the good guy. He's a very neutral character.
Yeah.
You know, Darren's got the issues and Wolfgang's the nerd, but Ben is like totally neutral. So, as in, he's got not much character, but he's ostensibly our hero and he does the spying on thing and you're meant to go, oh, okay, that's cool. And then he gets the girl. Like, there's no punishment for that. And there is a big seal of approval for it. And, you know.
We get that good scene in the school here where Ben talks about how people breathe CO2 on Mars. The Martian atmosphere is made of CO2.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that come back at the end where they're on Mars. That'll be good. That's why that's in there.
Look, Dante's playing a prank on you. Because he's a loony. He's a loony tune.
It's misdirection.
Totally.
Oh, when we get to the end, we're not on Mars. They'll be like, oh, He got me.
I love that. So is this the scene you mean? We got to the junkyard, the wrecker's yard.
Yeah.
And it is magical. It is. It's full of wonder.
No, this isn't the scene I mean. The one that I think is pure emblem. No. This is good. I like the A-team montage here where they build the thing.
I was stressed out, though, that he said he gives the dog gum and then says the dog won't swallow it. I spent the rest of the film thinking about that dog and whether
or
not he would
spit. Answer the question. Can they go...
Simon Hoxalugi, yeah.
Because if it's got... Sorry, yep. Not sorry.
Were you stressed about that dog swallowing that gum?
Weirdly, no. This is one of the rare occasions where you're more stressed about an animal in a film than I am. I was pretty okay with the dog chewing gum. It seemed like it knew what it was doing.
How? Dogs eat everything. Why would it not eat the gum?
Simon can blow a bubble with bubble gum. I give Simon Hubba Bubba. He really can. It's amazing.
So
I assume most dogs can do that. If they can't, then I have a dog with a gift and I'm going to put that on TV.
A special dog.
Britain's Got Talent.
Of course you do.
Is that still on?
I've no idea.
Okay.
I don't watch ITV. Where was I the other day? I was in a waiting room situation and the catchphrase was on. I was like, I fucking love catchphrase. Oh. I'm not allowed to watch catchphrase in my house because Mark won't have it. Mm. It's good, clean, family fun.
What's Mr. Chips doing?
He doesn't do it anymore, but it's...
Because he's dead.
Yeah.
That would be weird. Also, that wasn't him. I don't know what that was, but that was not Roy Walker.
Yeah. Well, I think because I started...
Was that Stephen Mulhern?
Put your back into it, buddy.
Do you want me to do Sean Connery again? That's really good. I can do that. Yeah. So, what's Mr. Chips doing?
Anyway.
Say what you see.
It's so good.
Yep. So, my mum thought so.
The boys have got this waltzer. I was a bit confused. They wheel it home, but the point of the bubble is that the bubble is transport. No, so why have they wheeled a waltzer home?
Do you want another bit of boring trivia?
Sure.
Apparently this scene where the waltzer rolls out of control down the hill, that wasn't originally in the theatrical release. They added that again later.
No, thanks. Carry on, Vicky.
All right, so we've got
fucking
everything.
Fucking IMDb. Delete IMDb from your phone.
Well, he wasn't in it. And then they put it back in.
Wow.
They called it the Thunder Road.
Yep.
Thank you, Bruce Springsteen.
Thank you, Bruce
One of his best.
Yeah. So then it moves upwards very slowly. I just felt annoyed about that because of the stop-start. After they just sort of trick out the waltzer, we go back to school. And then I'm like, oh, can we not just go to space? Yeah. But anyway, we finally have liftoff and it's very slow. And one of the boys even says it hardly feels like we're moving. It's like, it hardly looks like you're moving.
But this is the scene that I think they get right. This first flight where the score kicks in and they're flying over like pure Amblin suburbia
to the
drive-in. This whole sequence is where I literally wrote, oh, thank God. Yeah. Oh, thank God something's happening and it's working. And the magic and this idea of kids building a spaceship and flying over like 80s suburbia, it works. It's
lovely.
Great.
Yeah. So they fly past a drive-in. Now, if you were thinking of taking the piss out of this film, they've cut you off at the knees there because they got there first.
Yep.
So what? Who is it? Ben's brother is like, you can hardly see the strings.
He's not Ben's brother.
Whoever he is.
He was meant to be, but he's not there.
Someone said, who says you can hardly see the strings?
Yeah, Ben's not brother. Yeah, that whole plot line was cut out.
Yeah. And so then you've got the...
Just like the waltz a bit where it rolls out of control.
You've got Robert Picardo, this sort of film within a film as...
Star Killer.
Mm.
Luke Skywalker. His original name.
Yeah. Is it me or does it feel like we're watching Flesh Gordon? It feels
a
little bit naughty. Certainly the line, Starkiller, you're being taken from behind, does not really feel like it should be in this movie.
Fun.
He likes a bit of subversion though, doesn't he, Dante?
I guess.
He sticks a lot of stuff like that in his films.
Sure.
So here we are. Now, you have explained a lot about this already in the rough and tumble of podcasting. Mm. Dick Miller is Charlie. He's in the chopper. But he's not the bad guy. So walk me through it, right? So he's relentless in his pursuit and he's like, it's personal, goddammit. And then he eventually assaults Ben. And then eventually he's like, good luck, kids. And then, am I right? We never see him again. Is that right?
Yes, correct. That's it. That is all 100% correct. He is suggested to be a villain, but then it's the old switcheroo.
He's just not.
They breathe CO2 on Mars. We're not going to Mars. He's a villain. No, he's not.
He's proud of them when he sees them take off. It's exactly the same storyline as Peter Coyote in E.T., where he's set up as the villain. He's had a similar experience, I think, to Elliot, and then he grows to sort of respect them and happy that he has this adventure.
Yeah, that's why Spielberg bought this script to steal that idea.
Steal that one idea.
Which is not true.
I did think, though, because I do love Dick Miller, and when he said, even though I'm annoyed, because it's like, excuse me, you were bad, now you're good, who are you, why are you chasing them, what are you doing? And when he says, nice going, kids, it's done very well. I thought it was quite moving.
He's a wonderful actor. And when his mate picks up the newspaper, did you see one of the headlines is, Kingston Falls riot still unexplained?
I did.
I love it. I love it.
Do you?
Shared universe. Shared universe.
So, okay. Then the kids go home.
Because that's Gremlins. That's
yeah,
where Gremlins...
Sorry, I should have said.
Yeah, it's Gremlins.
It's Gremlins.
That's where Kingston Falls
Kingston
is a town.
Falls, yeah. So the Gremlins have fucked up that place.
Yeah, oh man.
So, okay, the kids go home, but why? Anyway.
Wait, do they go home again?
They go home.
I thought they went into space now.
No, they go
maybe
home.
Maybe I just wrote no notes for this section, because I've got, nice going, kid, then they're in space.
No, you just didn't write any notes, right. Which is fine, because there's an argument about a missing part, which I didn't know there was a missing part of Thunder Road.
Right.
And they have another Tron dream, and then they can get the schematics for the missing part.
Okay.
Daft. But this is the bit where Ben does his will, which is quite funny, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and gets his mum to sort of sanction him on his suicide mission, which I quite liked. So then we're off again, and then we get a Poltergeist reference just to warm us up, just to wet our whistle before the onslaught later of millions of references. And then they're in a spaceship, and no one comes to greet them. And then there is a very funny line about the aliens, because one of them says, oh, maybe they're just not hungry yet, which I do think is very funny.
All right.
Now, I mentioned this at the start. Is it meant to look like at a soft play centre in a shitty leisure centre or not? Because it does.
Yeah.
It looks like it smells.
But at least it has a point. At least there's a real reason for them going through a weird obstacle course before they reach the aliens.
It feels like they've run out of money.
It feels like a museum that had a kids' hands-on exhibition funded by the Arts Council that then ran out of money.
That's very specific. but Joe Dante did say, didn't he, that the paint wasn't even dry when the kids were walking on the set. So this, I mean, not a lot of time was spent on this, but they do have our first ever look at a giant mechanical spider.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, is John Peters connected to this movie anyway?
No,
what's just a
big fan. Just a big fan.
It's good. The metal spider's good. Yeah. I like this bit.
Yeah,
I was like, cool.
The spider. Sorry, I'm going to drown.
No, it's fine.
Takes a photograph of Laurie from Ben's ass pocket. That was a weird moment. Like, it's going for his bum anyway, which I found very uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
when
then
it
he's
frisks
carrying
him. Yeah.
The frisk. It's not. It's more than a frisk, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because he flips him round. Yeah,
he does. Yeah,
hands that's, against the wall.
Yeah, that's kicked things up a gear.
Yeah, sure.
I think very odd moment.
And there's sniffing tubes as well. It sniffs him.
Yeah, for a kids' film, a bit upsetting.
Sure.
So then we meet. Whack. Okay. All right, let's do this. So, effects done by Rob Bottin, who we love, you know, he'd done The Thing like 2 years before this. Okay, this is the first time I've seen this. The alien does look like an alien from a kid's book. The kid's books that you get now. There's a whole series called Aliens Meet Father Christmas or Aliens Meet Dinosaurs. I can't remember what they're called. They're for really little children. And the aliens look exactly like this one. So if you were a child and you think alien, I think they've done a really good job of rendering that.
Yep.
But when it goes, what's up, Doc? And Ben looks disappointed. And I was like, oh.
I quite liked what I initially thought was going on here, because there's no way of knowing that Neek and Wack are brother and sister at the start. So I was like, man, that's really cool that they have such an open relationship that Neek, being Wack's other half, is allowed to flirt and chat up Wolfgang on the sofa. And Wack's just like, that's cool, we have an open relationship. I was like, this is really forward thinking. It was actually very disappointing when I found out they were brother and sister.
Physiologically, they have nothing in common apart from they're both pink. Her eyes are on storks and his eyes aren't.
Nope.
So they're not brother and sister. They're not even the same creature.
Like, but you never know what's downstairs. Every hole's a goal.
or as Wack says later, when he finds the picture of Laurie, he goes, I'd like to get my cups on her.
She's a child.
And also cups, sucking cups.
Yeah. Did you think, you know, when you walk into the scene where Wolfgang is with Neek and they're in this, I thought it looked like a spa / meditation pod. It's like a drugs chat because they're not looking at each other, but they're just talking shit. And he's like, I can see things so clearly.
Oh my God, yeah. And they're basically taking like magic mushrooms or maybe a bit of MDMA and they're really chilled.
Yes.
And Wack has been mainlining cocaine. And he's like, guys, wait, look at me. I've got another one. Watch this.
And it's really harsh in their vibe.
And everyone's on a different level. It's like, dude, we needed to take the same thing. This is fucked up. You're really stressing me out.
Please go outside.
Well, I'm going to do a song. I'm going to do Little Richard. Turn it up. Dude, fucking hell, man. Just chill.
We're just having a chat.
Hey, can you bother me? Get away from me.
That's exactly what it's like. Yep. There's a bit where, so Wolfgang, who's like kind of into Neek, they're like, oh, are you talking to this alien? And he says something like, she's smart. And it's the inference, he's like, she's smart as well as beautiful. But it's like, she got you here, you little fucker. Like, she's an alien that sent you alien tech. And you're like, she's actually quite clever.
Yeah, this whole bit's great, though, because Ben is I don't know whether I like it. Like, this whole ending where Ben is really pissed off.
Yeah.
Like, he's so disappointed. It's such an odd moment. I mean, I get it, because he's been like, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to meet alien life. They're going to be, like, so intelligent. And then the fact that they just like pop culture and stuff. I can't decide. I either quite like it because it's so weird, or I think it's just stupid. But in the end, I came around to this idea that it was a bit like Time Bandits. You know, you remember Time Bandits, yeah, where you've got this whole thing and then the end is sort of weirdly downbeat, yeah, and it almost mocks you for getting so engaged with everything that happened before. You're like, this is a bit like, okay, sure, yeah, it's a bit sort of sad.
I get that. So why does it feel so... Well, God, maybe, you know, I watched Time Bandits when I was little, so I suppose you just accept it a bit more.
The last scene of Time Bandits really upset me as a kid. I was like, what is that?
In your intro, Vicky, you mentioned that the cultural references were before your time. Do you think... So I wrote some down. It's Bugs Bunny,
yeah,
Mr. Ed, Tarzan, and Ed Sullivan introducing the Beatles. I did watch Mr. Ed when I was a little kid.
I don't even know what Mr. Ed is.
It was a very old show about a talking horse that was on like a Sunday morning. It was black and white. It was that old.
Right.
Tarzan is obviously Tarzan. I watched Tarzan a lot when I was a kid.
A bit. Bugs Bunny, obviously.
Yeah,
but...
Bugs Bunny, obviously. Not Ed Sullivan.
No.
But yeah, what should the cultural references have been?
If you're going to do it, if you're going to be like, fuck this, we're going to do super, super sort of, you know, self-reflexive, whatever, you just have to do the most current stuff you can. Like,
why is it
from the 60s?
Like, yeah. You don't know what's going to be big, because you could sit here now and go, well, it's 1985, they should have done the A-Team. The A-Team would have been great. The A-Team's still big now, but you wouldn't know that the A-Team would still be a cultural touchstone like 20 years from now.
Yeah. I know. I suppose they were thinking that this stuff from the 60s people do still talk about.
And are they implying that it took a while for them to get into space, the space waves?
Robert Picardo is excellent, but it just goes on for such a long time. And the kids are looking at Wack like, stop it. So I'm thinking, stop it. Then he does a song and they're like, brilliant. He's like, nope, that's not done it.
Oh, I like the song, Little Richard song. I like the line, I watched 4 episodes of Lassie before I worked out why the little hairy kid didn't speak.
That's hilarious.
That's a great line.
That's really funny. Yeah.
That's really funny.
So this interview I read with Eric Luke, this interview is just in love with Explorers, just so besotted. And he's like, I love that line about Lassie. And he's like, yeah, I didn't write that.
Yeah. You've got to claim those lines as the screenwriter.
It was an improv.
I've just remembered, did you remember watching a show called Get Fresh when you were a kid? Saturday morning show with Gaz Top.
No.
Oh, it had an alien called Gilbert who was snotty.
Yes! Yeah, I remember Gilbert.
Yeah,
alien.
I just got him up. Look, I've got a picture of Gilbert.
Yeah.
And that was a year later.
It's a disgusting puppet for Saturday morning.
But they clearly nicked that off Explorers. I'll post that on the Twitch.
That is a disgusting puppet. You're right.
My friend Andrew Grocock, he was in my primary school. He
had a tough time, didn't he?
He was on that Saturday morning show. It's the only reason I know it, because I think it was ITV, so I wasn't allowed to watch it. But he was on that show, and everyone was like, oh my God, Andrew was on TV.
With Gaz Top.
I remember who Gaz Top was.
No.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
No, sorry.
I know you've brought up Gilbert. Could you bring up Gaz Top as well?
Yeah, I'd like talk to see him. Yourselves while
okay,
I get
great.
Up Gaz Top.
Thanks.
Well, what did you think about that? This is a U-rated movie, and the aliens, the message is, we want to come to Earth, but we're worried you'll exterminate us, and we just want to be friends.
And there's too many germs as well, they said.
There's too many germs. I think it's childish even for a kids' movie to go, we just want to be your friend. Like, children can...
I thought it was an interesting message there that...
Gaz Top.
Holy shit! Wow.
Hello, handsome.
Oh, my God. That's a whole lot of man.
It was on children's telly all the time in the 80s.
ITV, though. We didn't watch ITV.
Okay.
I didn't. You should know. The thing about we'd love to come to Earth, but, you know, they're referencing all the movies. Like, he's watched, they've got War of the Worlds. Ben's watching that earlier. And it's this idea that if they come to Earth because we're so stupid and, like, ignorant, we'll just kill them.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of interesting.
That's interesting. But then going, we just want to be friends is...
What do you mean?
It's too basic.
That's what they want.
No, I know that's what they want, but you could add another layer. We want to be friends because.
Have you had a situation where you were like, are we romantically involved? And someone went, I just want to be friends. Is that a triggering line? Is that line triggering?
Never happened to me.
I'm the one who says it.
So, now Daddy's here. Now, the kids have stolen his car. We can't really tell what he's saying for some reason, even though we can tell what his children are saying.
So this whole bit, it's like we don't really have a third act.
Yeah.
So we're going to make it up on the spot. But what we're going to do is we're going to make our running time because we are just going to we're going to drag this out. It's like it's not really an idea, but we're going to do it for a long time.
I might not say this scene was a bit of a low point for me podcasting career wise. I was just staring at it. I was like, I don't know what to do because
I blame the guy who did the voice.
It's the same. Is it not Robert Picardo's voice?
No.
Oh, is it not?
Someone else was involved in this.
Not Frank Welker. Give over!
The Welks.
You're lying to me.
The Welks apparently voiced the father and did some of the impressions of Whack, although Picardo got all the credit for them.
Oh, really?
That is the word on the street.
Wow.
So we could have a new Welker.
Oh, wow. Oh,
Our worst Welker ever. Yeah.
Again, in your big recipe, in your melting pot of magic, you chuck a bit of Welks in there.
It's such a single joke, isn't it?
Yeah.
The kids nick the car that you just got to get in and out. Yeah. Move on. Don't dwell on this. Because it might be funny if you didn't dwell on it.
If you use it to propel you to... They escape together to get away from Dad and then they go and do something.
Yes. It's space pirates. It's space pirates. It's not space pirates. It's our dad.
He's got very...
It's still our dad. It's not space pirates.
He's got very angry hands coming out of his eyes, though. Yeah. That's an interesting visual.
Very true. So they get sent on their way, which is obviously a bit disappointing. And then Laurie's in on the dreams. And this, I loved this, actually, even though I was in such a bad mood about it, because the crystal that they get given really is the stuff that dreams are made of. How cool is that? So when you've got the crystal, you can connect your dreams. I like that. I thought that was good.
Is that what it is? I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah. Thunder Road sinks. I don't care, which is a bit of a shame. And then Laurie leaves her house, but then doesn't talk to the boys. That's baffled me and annoyed me. And then they go back and they live their lives and then they have a group dream and now they're explorers. And that's that. The film ends.
Yep. Now you've got some sort of sitcom credits at the end.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Do you?
Yes, I always do. You like that as well.
Oh, wait, doesn't Whack come back?
Yeah, but there's one last space cameo.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Sure.
That's all I have.
Great.
Okay.
Deadline reported that Cary Fukunaga and David Lowery are working on the pilot for an adaptation of the film on TV.
That simply can't be true.
Absolutely true.
I doubt that's still happening.
True Detective, Explorers remake.
No Time to Die, Explorers a TV show.
Fine. What's your best scene, Alex?
It's almost Whack singing Little Richard's All Around the World.
No,
love that moment.
You're all right.
It's a very fun moment. I like the Starkiller pretend movie within a movie.
It looks really good.
I want to watch that film.
Yeah, it does look good. I agree with
you. I'd happily, if they should make that into a TV show with Robert Picardo, I'd definitely watch that.
Yep.
It's a bit sexy as well.
And you?
I haven't really got one now. So I'm going to go back in time. And I can remember as a kid being blown away when I found out the aliens were kids as well.
Mm.
So I'm going to say that just because it affected me as a child.
Okay. Mine is anytime we're in Tron. Right.
Good call.
What's your most valuable whatever, Chris?
Cheese.
I don't know. The mouse, the line, the seed.
Cheese.
Go to hell. Go to hell.
Yeah, he's good. Heinlein. Heinlein the mouse. Yeah.
It's so good.
It's almost Robert Picardo as Whack. I do like him. I think it's Dick Miller as Charlie Drake.
Yeah, I had him as well,
This weird, unexplained subplot. So, like, the bit where he looks up, and you mentioned it, at the ship leaving and goes, nice going, kid.
Mm.
That bit is so powerful that I sort of filled in this backstory that isn't really explained. I didn't know it was about joint consciousness. I just thought he'd had the same dream as a kid and for whatever reason hadn't been able to follow it through, didn't have a Wolfgang in his life, wasn't able to visit these aliens. But the fact that Ben was able to do that just filled him with this joy. He's like, nice going, kid. And like, I made up this entire story for him and it made me go, I fucking love Charlie Drake. Yeah. Dick Miller.
Yeah, that's a good call. Mine's Ethan Hawke, actually, because he's the straight man, isn't he? Like, you know, you've got Darren as the rebel, who keeps saying this, and Wolfgang's your nerd, and fine. So you've got to play this sort of nothing person, and he's really good. And it was his first ever acting role, and I was very taken with how good he is for his age, given that he's got to play right down the middle of, like, he's not allowed any big emotions kind of thing, because that's his role in the trio. So I thought he was good. So him. What would you change, Chris?
Jeopardy, please. We've got to inject some Jeopardy in this film. And I think what I'd maybe like to see is, I think maybe the alien dad should be wanting to punish them, like he punishes his kids and they've got to escape from him. So he's not going to kill them, but maybe he's going to send them to their room for 100 years or something.
He's going to put his cups on them.
Yeah.
So I think, I think you need an action sequence at the end just to propel us home.
Yeah. What about you?
Starkiller, you're being taken from behind. Shouldn't be in a kid's movie.
Oh, really?
Easy prude.
I just think my real one is... I just think this could have done Space Jam before Space Jam. If they'd stuck with that original thing of a space baseball game, Spaceball, then it would have been brilliant.
Yeah, we've said all of them. Make Charlie a proper bad guy. Give it a proper ending. Give the troubled home life story some closure. Bring the cheese rat mouse back into it. It's not finished. The film isn't finished. Do the film again. That's the change.
Don't release it against one of the biggest concerts in the history of the world.
And Back to the Future.
And Back to the Future.
And to be fair, Dante, he does a
suck on this, Geldof. see how well your stupid little gig does against explorers.
Dante does a podcast called The Movies That Made Me, and this comes up every now and then. Someone want to talk to him about it, and you know, he never changes. He's really, really unhappy with how it turned out. He's got so much regret about this film, and he's always weirded out when people say they love it. He's like, he's happy, but it's sad, really.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we're done.
All right, quiz.
This one is very straightforward. Question, answer. Shout out the answer first.
Okay,
sure.
Yep.
And they're all space related trivia questions.
Okay.
What was the name of the first dog in space?
Laika.
Wow, that was fast.
I know, right?
God, do you know what? Hats off to you, Alex. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Makes
me sad, though. That's a dog I'm sad about. She just died up there. Still floating around in
there.
I wonder if it came back to Earth. I don't know whether there's a dog skeleton. I wonder if you decompose in the... Yeah, you would do. There's a decompose... Anyway, carry on, Chris.
Alex, you go first here, and then you go second, Vicky. In what year was Yuri Gagarin the first person in space?
1963.
Oh, I was going to say 1963.
Okay.
1958.
Alex wins.
Yay! What year was it?
61.
Oh,
close.
Yeah. You're three.
Oh, yeah.
See, he can do maths.
Look at that. Maths. Take it back now. Mr. Maths over here. Welcome to Maths Corner.
Vicky, you go first with this one.
Okay.
What colour are sunsets on Mars?
The sun never sets on Mars.
No, there is an answer here.
No, that's your answer.
All right, fine. Yeah. Alex,
a colour.
No, come on, we're going to do this.
Green.
Orange.
No.
Blue.
Correct.
Brilliant.
They're blue. Dust in the Martian atmosphere has fine particles that permit blue light to penetrate the atmosphere more efficiently than other colours. Yeah, I thought that was quite interesting.
That is interesting.
What's the name of the comet that orbits...
Halley's Comet.
Correct.
Fuck off, I knew that.
Did you go see it?
Oh, this was...
Because I'm one of the few people that might have a chance of seeing it twice.
Why is that?
Because it only comes once every...
It was in the mid-80s it came out.
It was, exactly. So you had to be very young in the mid-80s.
Yeah, I was there.
Did you see it?
I remember that we had a big festival in Roundy Park, but I don't actually recall seeing it, but maybe I did.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw it, but I remember going out to see it. I remember the night. Yeah, 1986, and then it's not back for another 75 years.
Wow.
But you'll still only have seen it once if you didn't see it.
I might have seen it.
I had the opportunity to see it twice. Did you see it the first time? I didn't, no.
Yeah, but I remember being out, so counts. Right, shout this one. What is the name of the hottest planet in our solar system?
Mercury.
No, Jupiter.
Venus.
Correct.
Oh.
Is Venus hotter than Mercury? Mercury's the one closest to the sun. That
Venus,
seems unlikely.
Our solar system's hottest planet, measures at 842 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
It's not enough to melt steel, but it's hot enough to melt lead.
So don't build your spaceships out of lead.
Finally.
Good lesson for us all there.
Alex, you go first on this one. How many humans have walked on the moon?
Oh, God, it's something like 12.
Correct!
Hey!
What?
I think we can safely say that Alex has won the space race.
Look at that, Mr. Spaceman. Spaceman.
All right.
Easy Babylon Zoo.
Yeah. Also, fuck you. It's just payback for last week.
I didn't
have to say that, but fuck you.
I know. It's all right. I can take it.
And it wasn't even movie facts. It was real facts. Real facts that I'm you. Okay, good. Right, that is it then. Let's look ahead to next week and our next listener suggested pairing. It's our Valentine's Day special. We know who suggested it. Brett suggested it.
What's Brett who?
Brett Hyrak.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, V, you have the clue.
Sorry. This is the clue. This is the clue. Men.
That was quite good.
Thank you.
Do you want to do it again, though?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't know if people would have caught it.
Okay. Sorry, I've got it out of my system now. Ready? Men. I'm saying men at the end, just in case.
It's our alternative Valentine's Day special, and that's your clue. Did you want to do another clue from Brett?
I came up with so many clues. This is so ripe for clues, these two films. Yeah. But no, we'll do. Brett did send in some clues, and I'm going to get Vicky to read one out, but let's do it at the end of next episode.
All right. Okay, cool. Well, you mean when we announce the movies?
Yeah.
Right, sure. Okay, that's it. That's your clue. Men. We're back on Thursday talking Flight of the Navigator and revealing the winner of this week's Clash. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.